Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Kevin, and you're listening to Real Life with Pastor Kevin West on Expression Radio. That's WITO, WIRO, 1230 AM in Ironton, and obviously it connects to the tri-state area, the west side of Huntington and Cabell County, as well as the Ashland, Ironton, Canova, South Point market as well. So if you're listening to it on your car as you're driving, 1230 a.m., and if you're listening to it on your app, we would encourage that. Also, if you're listening to this, you know, you can pull that app up on your Android or your Apple phone and iPhone, and you can share that that icon, the app, with other people. Let them know that they can get music, inspirational worship music, all day long, 24/7, as well as these wonderful programs that we're putting together. And we got some great hosts, and I know you guys are enjoying those because the feedback we've been getting has been phenomenal. So lots of good programs. I don't even know what all they are now. I know we lost the sports show with Josh Perkey, Push, I think it was, is called. It launched last week. Fridays at noon and replays in the evening time. So we've got that going on, and then you the fall, we've got a few more shows. We've got a few more shows that are going to launch in the fall. So I think Maria Reynolds is going to be doing one as well, which will be coming up in August, or we'll wait till back to that when school starts. So a lot of good stuff happening, guys. There's a lot of great things happening at the church. We have the sports dome, the X dome we're building, broke ground on it, and that's a process that's going to take several months to get done, but we're going to keep pursuing it until we get it done. If you know of a business out there that wants to be a part of the sponsorship of the dome, please reach out to us here at the church, and you can let us know who they are, what they are, and if it fits with our vision and, you know, something we can work out, we'd be glad to have them be a part of this, because there's great things that are happening with basketball. There'll be volleyball in it. There'll be training for soccer, football, baseball, and softball, as well as track and some other things that'll be going on there. Wrestling, cheerleading. There'll be a lot of activity going on over in that thing, so we're excited about that. So our anticipation is sometime winter that would be built, as long as we can keep moving forward and not running any hiccups. So with that said, you know, if you know of anybody that wants the businesses or, you know, people that want to sponsor and maybe leave a legacy behind, we're looking for sponsorship for the dome, as well as we can get this thing built. With our goal is to build it debt free if we can, and that would be put us in a position where we could do a lot of community events and things that don't have a price tag to it. But when you're having to service a mortgage, you know, obviously you have to charge some things that we normally wouldn't charge. So just keep that in mind as we're moving forward. I want to do something today that I talked about this at the church in my sermon this past weekend. And it's in the book of Joshua. And if you have your Bibles there with you, I'm doing this by myself today. And of course, Sam's producing, but I normally have a guest. But today I'm going to do this by myself because I feel just like teaching a little bit. In the book of Judges, let's say Judges, Judges chapter 1, the Bible says that in verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him." Well, as I was speaking on this yesterday, I want to hone in on this just a little bit. If you allow me to take you back to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has just coming into his own. Moses had just died. The whole thing is changing. An end of an era was ending. A new era was beginning. And as Joshua was coming into the leadership role, God speaks to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And he says, "Hey, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now, Joshua, you're going to be the one. I've called you to lead them into this land of promise." And Joshua's gone, "Oh my God, you know what? It's easier to have somebody else be the point guy because he saw all those things that Moses had to go through. But Moses is dead. The era is ended. It's a new day." And Joshua means Yeshua, which means, you know, Greek word for Jesus, salvation. And so, in other words, Moses, the law, the Moses, the one that represented the rod, is dead. Now I'm going to take you in, and you're going to go in by following the priests, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, it says. You're going to go in by following the presence of the Lord. And here's what it means. It says, Moses is dead. The law now is not going to take you in. Your human effort is not going to take you in. The only thing that's going to take you in, Joshua, is that you go in with the following the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. So Joshua had to raise up people that were used to hearing a person lead by one man. Whatever that one man said, he heard the Lord, and they went in. And then Joshua had to learn to lead that way. So Joshua knew how to lead by how Moses led, but he was leading now by following the presence of the Lord. Well, for several chapters in the book of Joshua, you know that Joshua takes them across the Jordan River. They enter the land of promise, and now they've got a lot of fighting to do because all their enemies are taking the land that God had called them to have. So with that said, Joshua comes into picture, and Joshua does a great job, and he's a hero, and it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. But Joshua takes him into that place, and then all of a sudden there comes another time, a change of the guard, if you will, a change of an era. Moses died, Joshua took over. Now Joshua's life is ending, and it's time for another change. So when they got ready to take over, when Joshua died, the typical response, because they were trained by who's going to lead us, they look for a man. Moses first, Joshua second, and now all the leaders go to God and say, hey, who's going to do this thing now? Who's going to fight against and lead us into this fight that we're now in this land of promise? And Joshua's not here. Moses is gone. And God comes back to them and speaks and says, it's going to be different now. It used to be a man. Now it's going to be a tribe. Now it's going to be a family. Now it's going to be a people. And I'm going to shift this thing from being one man-centered to where it's now family-centered and tribe-centered. Well, that is a picture, because if Joshua represents Jesus and is a picture of Jesus, Joshua died and it shifted to a family, it shifted to the multitudes. Then Jesus, when he died, it also shifted to multitudes. So this is a picture of Joshua dying, is a picture of Jesus' death. What happened after Joshua's death is a picture of what will happen after Jesus' death, and it's similar. It went from a man to a tribe, went to a group, went to a people, a designated, called out people, an ecclesia, if you will. Then, when Jesus died, it shifted to the Peter, the disciples, and the 120 that got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It all shifted after Jesus' death. There's a parallel running here. So what was the tribe that stepped up when they went to God and said, hey, Joshua's dead. What do we do? And Joshua comes back, or the tribe comes back to God, and God says, it's going to be Judah first. And Judah says, okay. And he says, Judah first. Judah means to praise or praised. And then the second thing, Judah goes to Simeon and says, look, you're my brother. I need you to come up here with me. So you have Simeon, which means hearing, listening. So you have praise, worship, the center of Christ being the center, centrality of Jesus. That's the main one. The one that worships first will lead. And one that praises first will lead, but also what goes with that praise is hearing. So you praise and worship, but you're listening as well, like Simeon. They're together. Well, that is the same example that we have in the New Testament with Jesus dying. Jesus is gone. He goes to the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, wait, there come a time. And on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, the Spirit of God came and it fell upon those up in the upper room. And the first thing they did was begin to praise and worship the Lord, and they begin to hear. You hear. You praise and worship, and you hear. It's not a formula. It's a position of the way you live. It's a way of life. It's not a template to, this is what we're going to cookie cutter. God will do it this way because we do it this way. That's not it. It's your heart has to be centered on Him. And as your heart is centered on Him, it opens up your ears to hear from the Spirit. And as you're hearing from the Spirit, then God tells you things to do, things to not do, things to change, things to quit, things to start. He'll give you instruction for the betterment of your life, for you to go in and take over areas of your life in the promised land that you're supposed to take over and where you're supposed to be. So when God gives those instructions through that area of your heart, when you're focused and fastened on Him, it all begins to change. So I'm excited about that. I want to talk a little bit more about this as we come back. I mean, we're going to go to a break, and as we come back from our break, then I want to talk a little bit about this. What does this mean practically? How does this work practically in my everyday life? You're listening to Pastor Kevin right here on Real Life with Pastor Kevin West.
Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Pastor Kevin. You're listening to Expression Radio. You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Kevin West, and kind of breaking open the Bible a little bit today and trying to make this as practical as I can. But I really sense in my heart that there's a real shift or unique transition that's a little different than we've maybe experienced things in the past, because things are accelerating in life right now. I mean, with this AI and all the world changes is happening from China to Russia, all over the world right now. And there's a shift of power, and people are sensing that. I got this little cough today. But what you're seeing is all this shifting in power and shifting in influence that, you know, it's going to be up to us to really fully engage in what God is doing. We're not going to be able to be just as smart or smarter than the average guy and compete with the world. What's going to separate it is going to be our supernatural aerial view that God gives us from the higher plane, which is by the Spirit. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, cliche-ish or kind of too religious, but the reality of it is, this is kind of where it is. I mean, the proof is going to end up being in the pudding, as so to speak, and time is going to come when we're going to need to be able to do what all that God has called us to do and be that all that we've been called to be. And I want to read, if you've been following in the first half of the program, I want to read. I talked about Joshua, where Joshua's dead, and now it's shifted to who's taking us into this land of fight, and who's going to take us into this place of conquering, Judah and Simeon. And Judah means to praise, and Simeon means to listen. So those two things are going to go in concert together. But as I read that, I want to fast forward this, because Joshua, when he died, there were 12 judges. When Jesus died, he had 12 apostles. So there's a similar effect to this whole thing. So what we read in Judges on the heels of Joshua is going to be what we read in the world today following the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. There's just a parallel. So we can learn and glean a lot from that. So if I fast forward, and I want you to do that, I want to fast forward over to Judges chapter 7. And this is a story that's so familiar to everybody. And It's Gideon, and we know this because it's in every child's book. There's songs written on Gideon. There's, you know, books written on Gideon, and probably one of the most popular sermon topics is Gideon, because you can preach a really good message on this, and it encourages people. But I want to read something to you out of the New Living Translation, and it's Gideon defeats the Midianites. So Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon again, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring. I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all the others who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. So send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianites' camp was in the valley, just below Gideon. That night the Lord said, "Get up, go down into the Midian camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack." And watch this. This is really gets good. So Gideon took Purah and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of the Midian Amalek and the people of the east had settled in this valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore. There was too many to count. Gideon crept up just as the man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midian camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. Listen to this. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all of its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and as its interpretation, he bowed, here we go, in worship, Judah, before the Lord. He listened and worshiped. Worship and listen. He heard and listened while he was worshiping. He worshiped and listened before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given victory over Midianite hordes. He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn, look at this, and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I do with those men with me, blow the ram's horn, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all the three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hand and the horns in their right. They all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. They had a sword in a hand. They had a trumpet in another hand. And they had worship in one hand and had a sword. It requires two things. Our heart is postured, our heart is centered, our heart is focused on Christ. That has to be the center of your life. You seek Him first in all that you do. As you're doing that, He opens up your ears of your spirit to hear and to listen. And as you listen, you pursue. Whatever He tells you to do, you do it. And as you're stepping, taking the next step to do it, you're going to have worship in one hand, but you're going to have a trowel or a sword in the other. And what that means is you're going to be able, it's going to require you to do something. It's not going to just fall from heaven. It's going to require you to engage in life. And as you engage in life and take steps towards things, as you know God's told you to take, things begin to fall in place. He initiates a lot of this, but after He initiates it and you listen and hear, then it's up to you to take the next step. You may not know every step, but you got to take the next one. And as you take that step, if you make a wrong step, guess what? He'll tell you to make another step, and He'll eventually get you back on the right path. So that way you're listening for Him, you're seeking Him, you're centered on Him, and as you're guided by His Spirit, He leads you and guides you in every step of the way, and He'll take you in places that you never thought you could ever go. He'll give you dreams, and He'll accomplish things in your life that you never thought you could have ever accomplished. He'll give you joy and successes that you would just blow your mind, and He gets the glory when He is able to take you to a place that He tells you from the beginning and initiates it. You hear Him and begin to walk it out. And as you begin to walk this thing out, it begins to turn everything upside down. It changes the way life is. If you can truly believe, like Jeremiah 33 says, that He's got some really stuff planned for you. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, in fact, let me just turn over there real quickly. This thing lit me up yesterday when I was reading this. It says, 33, right here. While Jeremiah was still confined to the courtyard of the guard, the Lord gave him a second message. This is what the Lord says. The Lord who made the earth, who formed it and established it, whose name is the Lord, ask me and I will tell you remarkable, listen to this, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You have torn down the houses of this city and even the king's palace to get materials to strengthen the walls against the siege ramps and swords of the enemy. You expect to fight the Babylonians, but the men of this city are already good as dead, for I have determined to destroy them in my terrible anger. I have abandoned them because of their wickedness. Now watch this. Nevertheless, the time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's wounds and give its prosperity and true peace. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and rebuild their towns. I will cleanse them from their sins against me and forgive all their sins of rebellion. Then this city will bring me joy, glory, and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see all the good I do for my people, and they will tremble with awe at the peace and prosperity I provide for them. What's he saying? If we really want to set the world to see how good God is, it won't be because they see how bad he is. It won't be because they're afraid of him. The Bible says there in Jeremiah 33 that I will bless you beyond measure. I will restore the land and prosperity of your joy. I will do things for you that the world will have to take notice of, and the world will be in awe. They'll shake and tremble and be in awe when they see the blessing that I have given and bestowed upon your life. That's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want to have to scare them into to coming around. He wants them to see there's something special about you. There's something different about you. There's something he has brought into your life, and he's doing something into your life that will blow their mind, that they look and go, man, the Lord is good. They see his mercy, and there's something special about you. They won't look at you and say, oh, you're just smarter. You're faster. You're quicker. You talk better, you're brighter, you're clever. It won't be any of that. It'll be one of those things where you look and says, oh my God, I see how good God has been. They'll see the hand of the Lord on your life because they'll know that you are blessed beyond what they know you're capable of even doing for yourself. And when they begin to see that you're blessed beyond what you're capable of doing for yourself, they have to take notice of the supernatural God that we all come of love, of learn to love and serve. What are we saying today? We're saying, be centered on him, and as you're centered on him, you're focused on him. You've got him in every part of your life. Your giving, your ministry, your work, your hobbies, your family, your life, all the things you're doing it all unto him, and you've got him involved in your focus. As that begins to happen, as you walk this thing out, he begins to speak to you. He begins to hear you, begin to hear him, and you begin to listen. As he begins to tell you what to do, then you know the next step is you got to go after it. It's going to cause you to apply yourself. It's going to cause you to make some changes, make some decisions, choose some things, have some actions and behaviors that are going to follow being centered on him and doing whatever he called you to do. Exciting times, best time to be alive. I say it all the time, but I really mean that with all my heart. It's going to be an incredible next 12, 18 months, and I believe even over the next several years, you're going to see how God is going to have his hand upon his church and his people, the ones that believe him, trust him, and know that he is truly the God that we serve. Well, I hope you are enjoyed today. It's been a pleasure to be with you on this Monday morning, and there's an incredible amount of shows this week that are going to be wonderful. Tune in and stay tuned in to the station. Listen to the praise and worship music that you hear, all the inspiration, as well as all these wonderful talk shows and guests that are coming in to kind of be a blessing to you. We love you. We bless you, and I hope this is an incredibly prosperous week for you, full of joy, unspeakable, and full of his glory. God bless you all. This is Pastor Kevin on Real Life with Pastor Kevin West on Expression Radio.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax-deductible. Join us as we change the world.